my name is Lauren Early and I am a former six-time World Irish Dance Champion who is now devoted to helping every dancer achieve big dreams of their own. On each episode, we will bring you the best questions to help you discover and unlock your full potential so that you can benefit in every possible way. Thank you for listening and I hope you enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Reaching New Heights podcast experience. My name is Robert McAvoy and I am the strength coach for Reaching New Heights. And today I'm going to take you through an entire episode around quantity versus quality and really discussing how to overemphasize movements and why this is so important to your dance performance. So guys, you know the structure for 2018 is going to be that we simply take our social media posts that we've put out throughout the week and we're going to break them down and actually look into more detail about how we can actually fix them. I hope that you found the last episode useful in this structure and hopefully we can continue on in this manner. Basically, guys, Lauren has been huge over the last few weeks pushing out content around trying to overemphasize movements, make movements bigger, show off movements, increase your range of motion in movements, and really ways to try and stand out on stage. Now, this couldn't be any better timing because it's we're coming up to the week where the All-Ireland start, and of course we were going to have the Worlds in probably around 6 weeks' time. So this is really the time in your training where these things become so important. Now, one of the issues with Irish dancing is that these things that are so important sometimes get overlooked and get replaced with things like stamina and trying to increase your dancing volume. And right, we know that's not going to happen, right? You've probably seen the post that we've put out. We discuss quantity versus quality all the time. And we know that these two are conflicting goals, okay? You cannot train to be a sprinter and a marathon runner all at once. And whilst these may be extremes, it's kind of the same thing to try and get a dancer to improve their stamina and improve their speed at exactly the same time. This is exactly why we break things down into different training phases. Yes, they're all relevant to dancing, but you're working on a different aspect of your dance at different times of the year, and then you put them all together like a jigsaw, and bang, you've got the perfect dance performance, okay, for you. So what do we put out, and what do we actually mean about it? Well, let's first of all kick off with a post around quality versus quantity. Now, this is quite a lengthy post, so we did cover quite a lot, but we do know people don't like to read a lot of text on social media, and so let's break it down and go through it a little bit. Now, if you followed the podcast in 2017, you probably will have heard me speak about this, but honestly, like I always say, there's nothing better than to continue reiterating a lot of the same points because 90% of people still aren't picking it up. Now, guys, when we increase the quantity of anything, the quality of it is always going to reduce. It's just a fact. Yeah, if you start doing so much of something, the accuracy of how you do that is going to be affected. For example, if I tell you to go and hit 700 golf balls all at once, you're probably going to be accurate for the first few, and then the rest of the time you're going to be just swinging the club. Now, technically, you're still training for golf, right? Technically, you're still swinging. Technically, you're still going through the movement, but the accuracy of that movement is completely gone, okay? But you're still doing it. You're still turning up for training. You're still swinging at the ball. You're still hitting it to some degree, and the goal in your mind is still achieved because you've still turned up and you've done it, okay? However, when we look at what the sport of Irish dancing is about, it's not about volume. It's not about quantity. You guys are being asked to dance on stage for 60 to 90 or so seconds, and then you're going to get a break for a very long period of time before you're asked to do it again. So my argument is, coming into this sport as a strength coach from lots of different sports, is that why is Irish dancing not adopting this mentality? Why are we not sitting down and actually understanding what our sport requires us to do? What is our event time on stage asking of us? And then we can reflect our training around that. Now, when we increase the, if we make, obviously that's a golf example, if we create an example around dancing itself, When you increase the amount of dance practice you do, this is always going to be at the expense of how technically perfect and sharp and powerful that you are, okay? Now, it's like a seesaw, it's a sliding scale, right? The further you go in one direction, the further away you come from the other direction. It's not to say that you can't dance for a long period of time, but when we're looking at hours and hours of practice, you really think that you can dance at the same speed that you do on stage for 60 seconds that you would do in the house for 1 hour at home practice or in class for 3 hours or whatever. It's just not gonna be that way. You can't sprint a marathon. It's how the body is designed, right? So something has to give. And if you wanna dance over and over and over again for long periods of time, you must understand that that's at the expense of how sharp and powerful you do it. Now, if you're a dancer who needs to improve your sharpness and your power and your speed, what do you think the first thing that you have to look at on your training schedule is? It's going to be the volume of dancing that you're doing, okay? So if a dancer comes to me and they say, my speed is terrible, I'm not sharp, I'm not powerful, 9 times out of 10, they're able to dance for a long period of time, but this is very slow and robotic, and there's no real aggression in there. So the first thing I'm going to do is get them to write down how many hours a week they're dancing, and then we're going to try and cut out what is just repetitive work, what is unnecessary work. And if we can slowly chip that, lower that down, we can then actually focus on improving the quality of the dancing that's still left in that program. Okay, because now we're going to have more energy to go into class. Now we're going to have more energy to attack each dance class and each dance practice at home, because it's going to be shorter. Therefore, you know it's going to end quicker, and therefore you're able to put more into it. Okay, think about this. If I want to run a marathon, I'm going to be able to start off with my miles quite low, but I know if I'm running a marathon in 1 year's time, then I'm going to have to run 26 miles. Therefore, I'm going to have to build up the volume of that training each week. Okay, I may start off with 1 mile a couple of days per week, and then eventually it's going to have to go up to 2, 3 miles, 4, 5, and so on and so on. And eventually, I'm going to be putting in a lot of miles per week. 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 miles would accumulate across a week in order for me to run a one-off 26-mile race. Now, at that point, my stamina is going to be good because I've increased the amount of time that I'm training for each week, but my speed, sharpness, strength, and power is all going to be reduced. You just need to look at a marathon runner and see how they're physically built to understand that they're not the fastest and sharpest and most muscular athletes in the world. And that's okay, because they don't need to be, right? Because the aim of a marathon is to be extremely lean and light, so it's less taxing on your body if you want to run far. Now, if I want to run a sprint, however, I may start off with some general fitness in the winter time, some aerobic type work just to build a solid foundation. But the closer I get to that competition, the quality of my training has to increase, which means I'm going to stop doing the longer runs and I'm going to start speeding everything up. I'm going to start attacking everything with more speed, more power, more sharpness. I'm going to start taking longer recoveries, because remember, a longer recovery gives you more time to rest, which to refuel, to get more energy back into the muscle cell, which means when you go again, you're able to put 100% effort into it, okay? Now, as an Aries dancer on stage at any competition, your goal is always going to be for quality, not quantity. You're never going to be asked to dance several dances back to back. You're simply asked to do one and execute it perfectly, okay? Now, it goes back to what I'm always telling dancers, is that it's what's winning competitions is not the ability to dance. Everybody in the top 10 or 15 or 20 or recall level can all dance their dance. They're all able to go through the movements. They're all able to get to the end of a dance. What separates the winner from number 15 or 20 is simply the execution of the dance. How sharp are the movements? How powerful are the movements? How high is the knee come up? How high is the front click come up? All these things are trained not through volume, but are trained through slowing things down, taking recovery, breaking things up, and then attacking it with speed and sharpness, and actually developing the range of motion, okay? So, Aries dancing will always, well, not always, hopefully we can change the mindset on this, but up until now, it's always went against other sports when you look at how you taper into a competition, because the volume of your classes go up, okay, instead of decreasing. Now, it's not to say that all dancers, they shouldn't be doing more dancing as they come into competition. A lot of this has came from dancers generally just being lazy in the off season, the teachers then know that they're not fit enough to go into the competition, and so they start making them do more fitness work in class. They start making them dance longer in class to improve their fitness, and that's fine. I get where this has came about, because if a dancer is 4 months away from a competition, they're probably going to be lazy. They're probably not going to put in the work like a sprinter would if they're 4 months away from an Olympics, right? And we get that. We get there's a huge difference. But that doesn't apply to everyone, because there will be some dancers that will put in the work, that will be fit enough coming into that competition, that do struggle with speed and sharpness, and that do need those 6 to 8 weeks running into that competition to actually work on that speed and sharpness and power. They've got the ability to last at the end of a dance. They're fit enough aerobically, and they just need to improve their anaerobic sharpness and speed and so on. So I get that there's a lot of panic stations before competition, and that people haven't put in the work that they should have months out. But the ideal structure that should happen is that, you know, you should have your 2 to 3 training phases coming into competition. The furthest one out, you're really trying to get the basics down, okay? You're just trying to, step one is just to improve your stamina and have the ability to last to the end of a dance. Once that's done, step two now becomes about being able to last at the end of a dance with speed, sharpness, power, and acceleration, and all the key areas that are going to make you stand out on stage. If you don't have step one, you can't do step two, okay? So I get that. If you're a dancer coming into a competition and you don't have step one, then that must be worked on. But in a class of 50 or 60 people, not everybody's going to have that issue. If you're a dancer that has the dedication and has the fitness ability, step one, nailed down around 12 weeks or 16 weeks before, you now have more time where you can really focus on step two and actually improve your dance movements and your range of motion. Okay, so it's important to establish what your weaknesses are as a dancer at all stages of the year, but especially in the final training phase coming into that competition. And then really what you want to do is just alter the volume of the training to match your goals. So if you're a dancer who can last to the end of a dance but struggles with getting that speed and aggression, you need to understand that that's your weakness. Get rid of a lot of your training volume, cut it in half if possible, then put 100% more effort into the 50% of training that you now have left. This will allow you to go quicker, faster. It won't happen overnight, but over a period of 6, 8, 12 weeks, you should be considerably sharper and faster, because that's going to be your main focus. And remember, from a strength perspective, the reason why you need to do that is because it just uses different muscle fibers, right? If I'm doing a lot of volume of training, I'm using my slow twitch muscle fibers. So then whenever I try to speed things up, I'm not able to do it because I'm not able to fire up my fast twitch muscle fibers properly. So you need to give yourself a period of 6 to 8 to 12 weeks. You need to force yourself to try and get things quicker. It won't happen automatically. It's simply like me taking a marathon runner who's used to doing a lot of miles every single day and telling them, okay, we're going to sprint 100 meters. That 100 meters isn't going to be physically challenged for them at all, because they just don't understand how to generate a lot of speed initially. However, if I keep getting them to do that 100 meters every single day for 12 weeks, they will at some point be able to start speeding it up, because the body will remove this thought process of keeping everything cyclical and robotic and aerobic, and it will actually start to tap into the fast twitch muscle fibers. And as a dancer, that's really what you're wanting to do coming into competition, is reduce the volume so that you can actually train those fast twitch muscle fibers. And that's the reason for reducing that volume in the final weeks, okay, and not increasing it. And that can only be done if you do have your stamina in check. And if you don't, you've left it too late. And ultimately, that's your fault. You need to get that done weeks beforehand, okay? So I hope that makes sense as to where we're coming from a quantity versus quality perspective. And then this is where then Lauren took it and really went into how does it look on stage, yeah? So she showed you a few videos of her increasing her range of motion. She's taking some private lessons and she's doing basic dance steps. The dancer's going through the movement and it's a little bit more robotic. The range of motion isn't that high. It's not that aggressive. And then Lauren goes on and does the exact same movements, but she does it much sharper, much more powerful, and the movements have more range of motion. So the importance of this, I mean, you all know the importance of it because it's so visual. It's so clear to see on stage when someone is completing movements that are bigger than the person beside them. If you're a dancer that's small in height, and we get this a lot of the time, you need to maximize. I mean, it applies for all heights, right? But again, it's just another way of making a dancer who's a little bit shorter, making them expand their movements. They're going to stand out more on stage, okay? Anyone is going to stand out more on stage if you're making your movements bigger. The problem is, it's very hard to get a dancer who is used to doing movements a lot slower to get them to do them bigger. Why? Because dancing is to a beat. You have to do everything to a certain time and to a certain beat. If I tell you to bring your knee up higher, that means you now have more of a distance to go, which means by the time you get back down, you're going to be out of time, unless you do it quicker, right? So now if you want to do the movements with more range of motion, you now have to add more speed because you are traveling a further distance, but you still have to stay in the same time. So if I'm doing, let's take a simple dance movement, like a hop 2-3 or whatever. If you're trying to increase the range of movement in, I don't know, let's even take a front click or cuts. As you get tired, you're going to keep them shorter in range. You're not going to get up as high, okay? If you do want to get up as high, it takes you longer to get down, which means you're going to have to speed it up. If you don't have that speed as a dancer, that now becomes a problem. So you shorten everything, okay? Because it becomes about the tap on the floor. When ultimately the judge is not just judging the tap on the floor to see if you're staying in time, but he's judging how you look as you do it, okay? So one of the main problems that dancers have when they do so much volume of work is that they do not have the ability to increase the range of movement in the steps, because if they do that, they're now out of time and that requires speed. So in order to do this, guys, you're going to have to train through your speed. Okay? So remember, stamina is simply the ability to get through a dance. All right? It doesn't take into consideration how fast you're doing the movements, how much power or the execution of each step. Okay? This is much more harder and much more technical to develop. It is so easy to improve someone's stamina because stamina is just conditioning the heart and the lungs. You just need to move, you need to run, you need to do any of that type of work that's going to improve your heart and your lungs, and all of a sudden you can last for longer. But it doesn't actually take into consideration the technical aspect of dancing, okay? So when we look at that, you need to then work on your speed, sharpness, and power. So how do we work on your speed, sharpness, and power? One of the things that we do to keep it dance specific, of course, there's many ways to improve your speed, sharpness, and power by sprinting, hill sprints, standing bike sprints. All of these things will improve that. But if we're looking at how do we increase the actual range of movement in the step, just by doing it, like just watch Lauren's videos and see how she is able to do it. She's taken a section of 5 to 10 seconds from that dance, and her main focus is improving the range of motion in that 5 to 10 seconds. Now, how many of you listen the last time that you actually take your steps and break them down into 5 to 10 seconds of work? Take it, and I'm not talking about when you're trying to learn the steps, when you actually know the steps, okay? When you know the steps off the top of your head, are you still taking the 5 to 10 seconds of work and actually trying to improve the range of motion in them? That's the key here. That's the question that you got to ask yourself and try to find time to fit that in. You may know your steps. You may be able to complete them off the top of your head with your eyes closed, not even think about it. But is the range of motion there? Okay. So I recommend that you all take your dance movements, take your steps, break them down into little sections, and try and, as Lauren says, you try to dance big. Don't be dancing small. Dance big. And through this effort of taking 5 to 10 second bursts, you're going to be able to do the movements with quicker speed, more range of motion. You're going to be able to get that knee higher. You're going to be able to exaggerate all your movements because you know in 10 seconds time, you're able to take a break. Now, if you're doing 5 dances back to back, you're not going to start with that same speed and the same emphasis put into each movement because you know you've got such a long period of time to go, okay? And that's still true on stage. You still have to last 60 seconds to 2 minutes. But if you start doing 5 to 10 second bursts, you're going to be able to A, learn how to fire up your fast twitch muscle fibers, and B, improve your range of motion and stay in time, which means through time, you're going to be able to increase it to 15 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. And before you know it, you're going to be able to complete a full 60 second dance whilst keeping your speed and sharpness top level. Okay. But if you're drowning everything out with lots of training volume, your steps are going to be lower, they're going to be shorter in range of motion, they're going to be a lethargic looking on stage, and in that point it just becomes about getting through it. Now remember, the goal is not to get through your dance, the goal is to maximize the dance, okay? So ultimately, it all comes down to step one, make sure that you have your stamina nail down weeks before the competition. 6 to 12 weeks is the perfect time. Then step two, now you know that you can last at the end of a dance, let's actually try and improve the execution of the dance movements themselves so that when I step on stage, I know that not only am I going to be able to get to the end, but I'm actually going to be able to do it with great speed, sharpness, and power. I'm going to be able to show off all the movements and make them big, and the judge is going to clearly pick that up. And if I have someone beside me that's fatiguing or who isn't used to training at a fast-paced speed work, 5 to 10 second bursts, then they're not going to be as flamboyant as I am, and you're the one that's going to stand out, okay? I always remember coaching Lauren and taking her through these strength sessions and not really understanding a lot about dance, but I always remember going and watching the competitions and trying to tie them both together. Lauren used to tell me that she always needed to get more speed, more power, more height. It was something that her teachers were always working on, which was great, and we just incorporated that into our strength sessions and our conditioning sessions ourselves. But one of the great things about what Lauren's teachers were working on and myself was working on with Lauren at that time is Lauren had the fitness nailed down, the stamina nailed down for that dance 12 weeks before that competition ever came around. And in those final 12 weeks, the sharpness and power that she was able to build to add on to that stamina was phenomenal. And ultimately, that is why she was able to stand out on stage. So if there's anything that myself as her coach and that Lauren can pass back to you, Lauren's aim is obviously to get you to increase the range of movement of all of your dance steps. My aim is to teach you how that's possible. And the main key for that is just reduce training volume once you've got your stamina complete and start focusing on breaking down the steps, not breaking them down to learn the steps. You should already know them. Break them down to actually improve the execution of them, okay? Get that knee higher, get that bum up, get the foot to the bum higher, improve the range of motion of everything and still stay on time. And you will be much, much sharper come competition time, and you will stand out 10 times more, okay? So guys, I hope that that information helps for everyone dancing at the All Irelands this weekend. I wish you all the best of luck. I may make an appearance at some stage because I have some meetings there with some people. Unfortunately, Lauren will not be able to make it, and the team isn't officially there. But if I see any of you or any of you see me, please come say hi. I wish you all the best of luck. And we will all be there at Worlds. So anyone that's going there, keep training hard. And I look forward to seeing your results across both competitions. So train hard, compete well, and I will speak to you again for the next podcast, which hopefully I will get out just after the All Irelands is over.